Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
We organised yesterday really as a prophetic statement to the church in the UK, and to bring a Palestinian Arab and an Israeli Jew together on the same platform, certainly in the way we've been doing, is quite a unique thing. And it, you know, okay, you say, well, there's a few hundred people here and whatnot, but it's as much as what it's doing in the spirit as anything else, but it's a statement of intention of what we believe God wants to do in this nation, in the church, to really give a biblical understanding of his purposes, to have a heart in the way that he has a heart, to deal with preferences, to deal with maybe wrong attitudes, wrong thinking, to line people up with his word. And it was a really powerful day yesterday, and we're really blessed to have both Jack and Evan with us here this morning. And one of the key scriptures that was used yesterday was from Ephesians chapter 2, and we've preached from this, and it's a key verse in the New Testament. Paul writing to the Ephesians, saying here in verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law, which is his commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away," that's us lot, "and peace to those who are near," that's the Jews, "for through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." And these guys are going to be sharing this morning. But, you know, this is a powerful morning. And in terms of one of the core purposes that God has given us, part of the mandate that God has given us as Kingdom Faith, one of those core purposes is to do with Israel. And as well as having, you know, a Jew, a Palestinian, Arab, and then us guys, most of us as Gentiles, as it were, or non-Jews. It's great to worship, to celebrate Jesus together, because it is a prophetic statement, an example of what God is doing, that we're one in Christ, that the cross supersedes every nationality, the cross supersedes every boundary, every wall, every restriction. And the cross brings us together as brothers in Christ, as one new man in Christ. And that's right at the heart of what the church needs to understand in this nation in terms of God's purposes. And so yesterday was a powerful day. These guys shared their stories, where they both came from, how they came to know the Lord, how they became friends, and how they're working together to see reconciliation in the Middle East, and particularly in the area of Israel and in the Palestinian areas. And kind of shared their own story, shared from the Word, God's heart, gave some biblical understanding, but also spoke a lot about the reality of what's going on there and how God is working in people's lives to transcend all barriers, all opposition, all factions, and all of that, and how really Jesus is the only way, the only answer for peace in that part of the world, or in any part of the world. But, you know, there are loads of political agendas. There are loads of people's perceptions, ways they think they can do things. But we know the only way there can be any real lasting peace is through the cross, is through the work of the cross and what Jesus does when he comes into people's lives, and the work that he does, the awesome work that he's done. And so just as a very, very quick backdrop, so these guys can just sort of launch into what they believe God wants to say and do this morning, I want us to stand together, and I want us to welcome these guys. I want us to honor them as men of God, who they're not running with their own agendas. They're not running with their own thing. They're really running with the heart of God, and they're working together to see reconciliation in that part of the world. And there's an awesome responsibility that they have. But we want to continue to pray, as we are every day as part of the 24/7 prayer. We want to pray for these guys, pray for God's purposes in Israel and in the Palestinian areas. And we just want to really open up our hearts this morning for God to do whatever he wants to do in us. Is that all right? So we want to understand more. We want to for God to impact our hearts more, and we want an impartation this morning from God's heart into our hearts, into our lives, through these guys as they come and share with us. So let's really honour Evan Thomas and Jack Sara as they come to bring the word.
Boker Tov. Sabah Khair.
Sabah Noor.
It's good to be back with you again, Kingdom Faith. I was here, some of you may remember, in May, and I had the joy of beginning my relationship with you. And at that time, bringing a message that was on my heart very much about the power of the cross to transform lives, to create and develop a new community. Coming out of the very words that we heard from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, this taste of this passage that Pastor Clive brought us just now. So we want to continue today, and I say we because as I promised back in May that if I came back, I would want to do so on one condition, that I brought somebody with me that represented a wonderful example of servant leadership from the other part of the indigenous body within Israel. And this is my friend, Pastor Jack Sara, who ministers to a flock in the old city of Jerusalem and beyond throughout the West Bank, working his heart, drawn, called to the majority peoples amongst Palestinian Muslims, but a man of integrity that also demonstrates that in his love, his care, and his respect for my community amongst the Jews. He is a man of fellowship, a man of God's word, a wonderful family man, and an example and inspiration to me. And I just want to say these words to honor him and allow him to speak to you from his heart, from God's word. Today we come with really a very personal message to this church. We're not here to tickle ears. We come with a message out of the Holy Land, out of the ancient peoples. We love you, and we desire fellowship with you, and it's a great honor to be here to serve you. So we just bless you, dear ones from Kingdom Faith. May God open our hearts and our ears to hear what he has to say to the church. Amen. Jack's up.
Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. It's a great honor again to be with you this morning. How many of you were here yesterday? Okay, so you've heard me already speak, and you've heard me cracking all my jokes, so I have no jokes anymore to say. Except I felt unfair that me and Evan are going to speak without all the music playing in the background. And it's Clive, you were just sharing, and you had the music at the background. As a musician, I'd love to have that if you would just come and speak as I preach, play music. Anyways, that's a bad joke. Yesterday, me and Pastor Evan, we're trying hard to lay a foundation of truth from the word of truth, the Bible, about the importance and the vitality of unity of the body of Christ, whether within our own respective nations and our own country, or whether it is here in the UK and all the world. I've shared with you out of the heart of a pastor who wants to see the church live in unity for the sake of God's glory and for the sake of the gospel and the kingdom of God expanding and moving forward. In the evening, I've shared with you some personal stories of God, how is God is on the move in Palestine, Israel, in the Middle East, and all over. And we pose the question, where are we in this story? Where are you in this story? How are we living a life that is impacting those around us in a way that they see our lives and lives would become contagious to the point that they get thirsty? They see a light in you, not only by the way you speak, but it's how you live. And this is exactly the foundation that I'll be laying this morning in 10, 15 minutes maximum of a biblical understanding of forgiveness. Because how much we could talk about unity and love, how much we could talk about reconciliation, if it doesn't have the integral part, the backbone of forgiveness, it's going to fail. And one of the most topics that the Lord Himself spoke about, in His own words, just one of the most important topics, themes of Jesus' preaching to the crowds and to the disciples, was forgiveness. We did talk about our personal testimonies, and all of us, and both of us, me and Pastor Evan, I am a Palestinian, he is an Israeli Jew, I'm a Palestinian Arab Christian who, in my past and my short history in life, endured a lot of suffering, went through a lot of conflict, been hurt, beaten, put in prison. The same with my family and the same with my kin people and a lot of others who are surrounding me. Been gone through all of this process of receiving the Lord, giving our life to Him, and being healed from hurt and wounds that were caused by our enemies. And the scenario turns in a different perspective when you see that your enemy is no longer your enemy. One integral part of your enemy is your brother and your sister. And how can you react to that? It's a decision that we need to do on a daily basis. Because we are people. And people change. You know, someone told me when I was going to become a pastor and I felt God's calling me to be a leader, a pastor in my church. He said, listen, Jack, you've chosen, or God has called you to one of the hardest works on earth. I said, why? You know, this is good. This is the gospel. I'm also a worship leader. We love to. Yes, but you're going to work with people. And people don't stay the same. You'd rather go and work as a carpenter. You work on a piece of wood and you come the next day and it's the same. You come the next day and it's the same. And you come the next day and the same. But when you work with people, you're going to come the next day and they might be today with you. And maybe tomorrow they're going to be against you. Would you want to work a work like this? Unless it was the call of God on my life. I tell you, I wouldn't have endured this past 20 years of people changing, turning against you, hurting you. And yet in the middle of this sea of ministry and conflict and political situation that we're living in, my people are fighting against the Israelis and the politics is just in everybody's mind and heart to preach a message of reconciliation. It adds another heavy burden on my shoulders. Yet it's only by God's grace that we could carry this and live a life of forgiveness for the sake of Jesus' name and for the sake of His kingdom expanding. At the very least, amidst my people, the Palestinians, whom I love dearly. And I know they have the right to live and see Christ in their lives as well. And I know that many of you who heard me speak yesterday, I said, John 3:16 includes the Palestinians. Even though that sometimes we try to ignore it. And I did again and said in the evening, it also includes all the Muslims, especially those around you. And what are we doing to fulfill that? Are we doing this kind of horse walk with blinkers, or what do you call it? Flickers. Closing your sight from right and left, or you're opening your eyes to look them face in the face and love them with the love of Christ that He has poured into your hearts. That's why Paul, one time, I just imagine him shouting, the love of Christ compels me. As if it is surrounds me in a prison of cold love, that I cannot just ignore it. Even though my passions and my hurt and my wounds are against it. And our life experiences and our past is not so easy. It haunts us like a ghost day after day, so that it would turn you back to live in hatred and prejudice and bias. And you see all sorts of strings that pulls you here and there. You see a mother who lost her son because of the war. And you see a brother who lost his sister because of this hatred. And you see a mother whom two of her children are still in prison unjustly. And how can you talk to these people about God's love and about God's forgiveness unless you yourself have experienced it?
That's good.
Unless you yourself is receiving it and experiencing it. For no man can give something that he doesn't have. And if we haven't yet experienced the full forgiveness of Christ Himself, with all what it means, and if we haven't yet lived it on a daily basis with the decision that you make as soon as you wake up, Lord, may you give me the strength to forgive all those who hurt me today. It's almost like a decision you make before you go into the hurt. Not expecting it, but knowing that it is a reality of a harsh life, of a sinful human beings, and we are part of that. And hey, yes, we are redeemed by God, but we are yet sinful people who are justified by faith and by receiving our Lord as our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And it's a path that we need to walk with. I can't help but look at some of the verses. If you would open with me, please, your Bible. Would you please open first to Ephesians 4:32? A very integral letter to our teaching during this past weekend. Thank you. I've been doing a lot of studies on Ephesians because I think it is the letter that the church needs to reflect again on, to speak for the unity of the church. And I don't know a lot about the state of the unity of the church in the UK or around you or in Horsham. I have no idea. But I know one thing, that if you really want to work in that, you have to take serious decisions that might be very hard sometimes. Ephesians 4:32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. If you want to follow up on this and you're writing down, you could write more verses. And you'd see them on the screen. And just for a post-reflection, because I don't want to take all the time. But you would read Matthew 18:15-35, Matthew 5:39-41, and Colossians 3:13. The Bible speaks about every person needing forgiveness and every person needing to forgive. Why? Because we are all sinners in need of God's forgiveness. And the subject is very essence of our true faith and Christianity. Until we understand it, we will not really understand God Himself. You know, we speak a lot about the prodigal son story, for example, where sometimes I think I have titled that story in a different way. Because it's actually The Son is not the central focus of that story. It's God's heart. So if we would call it rather God's love or the Father's love and His forgiveness, that's unchangeable towards all of us, regardless of who you are, regardless if you are men or women, regardless of you are Israeli or Palestinian or American or English. It doesn't matter. It is He who matters. And His heart never changes. It's the same. Yesterday, today, forever. We have talking yesterday as well about some of the hardships that some of us had to endure in our own country to pursue real reconciliation between the brothers. And we rejoiced with the psalmist, 133, when he said, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together. For there the Lord have ordered a blessing." But in order for me to sit with my brother and receive this blessing that overflows from the throne of God, there should be a certain impartation of forgiveness, with a decision made within our own hearts. A forgiveness that continues on and on, with the strength that comes from the unconditional love of God, so that my forgiveness as well will be unconditional. Yesterday, I was so much touched. There was a lady, I'm not sure if she's here, and I told her, "What do you do?" And she said, "I was a missionary in Africa for 3 years. She said to me stories that I've never heard before about the real forgiveness that is not only spoken by words, but also lived by lives. She said, "I was in Rwanda. And there, I heard stories that were horrible. But she told me that one of the places that I visited, I saw mothers, Tutsi mothers, taking care of Hutus children whose fathers and mothers were killing their own people. And these mothers, their children were killed because of this war. And they took the other side's children to raise them up." In my heart, deep within me, I said, "That's forgiveness. That's forgiveness." Not just words that, you know, we come together and we could do that scenario and Evan will stand here and I will stand here and say, "I forgive you and forgive your people for what you did to my people." And he would say the same. But then we might leave England and go back home, and as if nothing happened. Unless we take another stand of stepping into the shoes of one another, doing actions of forgiveness and reconciliation that going to last and impart things for me and him and for the new generation to come. And it's not an easy task. That's why we need your prayers a lot. And that's why we need you to pray that the Lord of peace will bring back his peace to Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I've said this more than one time, but what is the real peace of Jerusalem? Is it a political peace? No. It's the shalom that comes from the Prince of Peace. The salvation of the human being, which much more is important, of importance to the Lord than anything else. In the midst of daily struggles all of us face in the land that we are living in, we want to learn more about how to relate to those people who hurt us simply because we are not like them. How are we expected to live then for the sake of Jesus in a country like ours? When God forgives us, He no longer holds our sins against us. Therefore, we don't have the right to hold other sins against them, not if we belong to Jesus. Whether we feel forgiveness in our hearts or not, We are under obligation to obey God. As we obey Him, He will supply the feelings. Obedience must come first, then the right feelings will follow. And as I'm speaking about our own current issue, that we as Palestinians are forgiving those Israelis, and the Israeli brothers are forgiving those Palestinians, this translates into everyday setting in your lives. Everyday setting in your lives, whether it is in your house, or in your work, or in your school, or between a man and his wife, or a father and his son. Because the biblical principles never changes. They are supraculture. They're beyond gender. They're beyond any human philosophy that's offered in our day today. Why it's hard to forgive sometimes, and that's a reflection that I had basically within my heart and those around me. Some would say, I'm afraid if I forgive, I only get hurt again. An excuse. But what if they don't even see how bad they have hurt me? Another excuse. They don't deserve it. They have done so much to me. They have done so much to my people. They stole my house. They stole my land. They stole everything. And what's left? How can then they deserve this forgiveness that I give? And then again, if I forgive them, they'll only go on hurting others. And the problem is, sometimes, this is what I'm teaching and what I'm teaching you today. I also teach in my church. I go to my church and tell them, listen, the first people who would be influenced in a negative way by not providing the forgiveness, it's you. And if you want to be delivered, if you want to be freed from this bondage of unforgiveness, the only solution to do is forgive. What else can you do? There's no pills that you can take. There's no process of 1, 2, 3, 4, do this and you're freed. There's a word that comes with actions that is called forgiveness. So powerful. Because it flows right from the blood of Christ that came from the cross. That changed me, delivered me, and gave me a new life. So that I could give this new life to others. Sometimes unforgiveness causes bitterness. Holding into or showing feelings of intense animosity. Resentment or vindictiveness. Other words that describe are merciless, unforgiving, holding a grudge. And all of that, where it's contained into your heart. And as much as it is contained into this small heart of yours, it's going to be poisonous. It's going to be killer for your own well-being. One of the books that affected me deeply was written by a scholar called Miroslav Volf, Exclusion and Embrace. Speaking out of the former Yugoslavia war and that kind of tribal Bosnia, Herzegovina, Croatia, Serbia, you know, all this war that was really killing people, for just innocent people were killed, hundreds and hundreds of thousands. I was in this city, Sarajevo, and on one ground you could just look and there's no end to the number of tombs that you are seeing. So gross, so hard to see so much dead people. And you would ask the question, why? Because of unforgiveness. A lot of studies were done in psychology even. And they said that a lot of the sicknesses in your body could be because of something psychological, which for me it's even more than that. It is something more spiritual called unforgiveness. Sin that's hidden within us. A lot of people were testifying to me in the church. At the point that they have delivered, they have given that forgiveness and imparted that into the lives of others. They themselves were healed. They were healed in their own physique, in their own body. That's just the extent of why the Lord made that important issue. I'm not just raising it to stir up things in your heart and tell you have to deal with it yourself. Thank God that we have the Holy Spirit that could convict, could heal, could provide, and could give us the strength to forgive others. Other issue is always complaining. You know, Job 7:11 said, "Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul." Unforgiveness causes a lot of complaining and hard feelings in your life. Since bitterness stems from the feelings of anger and an unforgiving attitude towards others, here are some solutions that we could talk about. I could change the word solution to say principles that the Word of God could provide for us about this issue. Ephesians 4:26-27, a well-known verse to all of us. "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." It's very alarming to know that sometimes believers might give a place for the devil in our lives because we're not being able to give forgiveness. I'm scared of that idea. I don't want my church to have half of them people have a foot of the devil in their hearts and lives. I'm sure you are the same. And the word, "let not the sun go down," it might be a season, might be a time being, but remember, whether it's in your house, whether it's the party, whether it's with other church, I don't know. I see a lot of the things that also we were talking about yesterday about unity. How much that even affected me. You know, as a pastor of a church, sometimes we get people who are not happy with the church. And when they are not happy with the church because of certain things happened within the church, because of things they don't agree with within the church, with the leadership of the church, the easiest thing to do would be to pull outside and leave, and go to another church. And the hardest thing that hit us in the Middle East, one of the most hardest things that hit us in the Middle East is church splits. Maybe you don't realize that here, but as much as the church in the Middle East is small, one of the hardest things that is making us sometimes weak is the church splits. And I'm not talking about 500 and 1,000 number of people in that church might be 50 people. So you would imagine 10 people leaving the church, how much hurt that causes the church. Right? And I can't think of one pastor, one church that did not go through this. In my church, we had an issue. I had 4 or 5 people that somehow, you know, suddenly they said, "We are not pleased with how the church is going. Can you make the change?" Yes, we will make the change, but it seems that their agenda was different. At the end of that, they said, "We're going to leave the church." We went through a hard process of trying to reconcile, trying to accommodate their requests with no results. At the end, we said, "We bless you to go wherever you want." They went and established their own fellowship. Now, it's very hard on me as a pastor because these guys, I've put my life in them. I invested in them from my time, from my resources, monies, whatever you want to talk about. So seeing them cutting part of my body was so hard. So harsh. And I felt the pain just within me because a lot of the accusations were also had to do with me personally. How can I take this? It was suffering. It was struggling. It was really very hard. A process that at the beginning I might have failed in it, but then the Lord just gave me the strength with the wisdom of others around me. Just release this forgiveness. Say, we forgive you. We want to bless you. And instead of seeing you really go in anger and go in anguish, go in peace and may the Lord bless your ministry. But it was hard. It was bloody. But as we release this forgiveness and pursue this reconciliation, you wouldn't imagine how much my church was blessed. We doubled in 2 months. We lost 8 people. The Lord gave us 40. For Him be the glory. I don't see it as a loss as much as c'est la vie. You know, let it go. Let it go. And I would speak as a complex situation between, you know, forgiving. Of course, this is in a little church setting of 120, 130 people. Then how is it then, you know, with network of churches? The competition that's happening between the churches within our circles. And then you have another sea, you know, another pool of Messianic churches and Palestinian churches. These people pull with their people for politics and the right of Israel to exist and the right of Israel to dismantle the Palestinians, and then the Palestinians, you know, the church among their, our people are calling for the destruction of Israel and, you know, for declaring war and all of that. And where should we go? This side or that side? Or see something in the middle? It's a forgiveness decision we need to make on a daily basis. And before I finish here, I'll lay before you a few verses that we just want to read. And I'll say, let the word speak to you. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has aught against you, leave there your gift before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Matthew 5:23-24. Who wants his relationship or her relationship with the Lord to be in good terms? I didn't see all the hands here. But those who didn't raise your hands, that means you're... Well, that's exactly what I want to have. I want to have a pure, strong, open relationship with the Holy of Holies. And I cannot enter into the Holy of Holies if I knew within me, within my conscience, with the conviction of the Spirit, that I have something against my brother or my brother has something against me. Mark 11:25, and when we stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which in heaven may forgive your trespasses. Would that person that Jesus is asking us to forgive in the Lord's Prayer, could it mean a Jew, Palestinian, someone who harmed me or my people? Yes. Yes. And it saddens my heart to see how many Christian Palestinians pray that prayer with an individualistic, egoistic, egocentric understanding of that prayer. Even the Lord Jesus, when He taught that song, that prayer, He gave it a plural understanding. Especially in a pluralistic society like ours. Those who offended my people, I will forgive them. As you, Father, have forgiven us, me, I forgive those who offended my people. That's what it means on a plural setting. What will happen to me personally if I don't forgive? A lot of things. But then, we need to be conformed to this word, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What does that mean? New way of thinking, new way of forgiving, a new way of loving. We must forgive as He forgives us and love as He loves. The simplicity of this gospel is that the only thing we can transform our lives, transform the world and everyone else. For His sake, can we forgive? For His sake, can my people forgive? And for Jesus' name, we want to see forgiveness transforms old barriers, break bondages, and release healing and release salvation to the nations. And only for Jesus will be the glory. Amen.
24 years ago, while working on a building site in Jerusalem, the very early stages of my service to the body of Christ in Israel, I was working with a team renovating a building right in the old city of Jerusalem. And I received a phone call from my colleague in Netanya, who had received a call that came through from New Zealand, my place of birth, where members of my family still live. And this phone call was to explain that there had been a terrible accident at sea and that my father was missing. Apparently, my father and my brother had been returning to port in their ocean-going yacht. The weather conditions were extreme. There had been somewhat of a lull in the weather conditions, so they made a run for the port, had been granted entry, and on that run into the harbor, they were hit from behind by a freak large wave that literally Eskimo'd rolled this yacht, throwing both my brother and my father into the sea. And as it turned out, my brother was thrown up onto the shore, but my father disappeared, missing, believed dead. That news, that phone call, in fact, marked the beginning of the most difficult trial of my life. 3 years prior to this, my wife and I responded to God's call on our lives to come out of the diaspora, to come out from New Zealand, and to immigrate to Israel and to make it our home. When we parted from our families, in fact, it would mark the last time I would ever see my father. This man that had been my closest friend, my mentor, a man that I loved dearly, and perhaps even until today, I'd say the man that modeled so much for me. Two days after that accident, and only hours before I arrived to New Zealand to the waiting arms of my family, the authorities found my father's body that was washed up many, many kilometers along the coastline. I arrived to my family. My family was completely devastated at what had happened, at this terrible tragedy. He was a beloved man. But more than that, I arrived to their enormous expectation upon me to comfort them and also to conduct the funeral services for my father. I'd expected that, and during the long journey to New Zealand, I began to prepare my heart for it. Because of this weight of expectation upon me, there was no room in my emotions, no time even for me to grieve or even begin the grieving process. In fact, I recall very vividly until today, and here we're talking about more than 20 years ago, where I literally made a choice to lock all that grief deep inside me, like I was shutting it behind the steel doors of a security room. It was a place that was safe. In fact, following the funeral and my days there in New Zealand with my family, trying to be of some comfort to one another, and my return to Israel, to my family, to my congregation, I came back and they received a man changed. I was changed because of the deep grief in my life. And the fact is that I, for 2 years, was not willing to even go near that. For 2 years, I would not allow people to speak about that around me. I'd simply learned somehow to live with that sadness. One Shabbat morning, Sabbath morning, we worship on a Saturday, the Jewish community. The congregation at that stage was still very small. We were about 25 people gathering, and we were sitting in my colleague's garden and worshiping and praying together. In a moment of quietness, my colleague suddenly got up, went inside the home, and came out with his hands filled with cold ashes from the fireplace in the home. And as we sat around, he came up to me as the Spirit of the Lord moved him and placed these ashes upon my head. And with that simple act of obedience, God broke a dam inside my heart. And I began to grieve for the first time in 2 years with this deep, overwhelming grief. And so began a process of my own healing, my own coming to terms with what had happened through the loss of my father. That's only part of the story. In the meantime, there's another player in the story, and that is my brother, my older brother, who was the skipper of the yacht at the time, who survived the accident, and in his own way, also as a disciple of the Lord, in his own way, trying to come together not only with his own grief, but with the enormous weight of responsibility that he perceived as being responsible for our father's death. His life turned into a complete mess with emotional breakdown. And in that midst of that breakdown, decided to join me in Israel, make it his home. And for many years, he was part of our community of faith as it was growing. And now, we as two brothers had to confront all that had happened, undealt with, his guilt, my anger, and the relationship between two brothers that in previous years had been close, rapidly severed. His guilt, my anger, as I looked upon him as the one responsible for taking my father's life. And after several years of watching our entire community as it was growing suffer because of the enmity between two blood brothers, it was never talked about. Our whole community suffered, was held hostage, I would say, in some respects. And after about 10 years, my brother left Israel with his wife and until today lives back in New Zealand. For more than 20 years, serving as a pastor in the body, dealing with the issues of forgiveness and unforgiveness, dedicating my life with a passion to the issues of conflict and conflict resolution between our peoples and the land. I lived with something locked away, unresolved in my life. Confess to you today that what was locked away was a deep-rooted sin in my life called unforgiveness. I had learned to live with my loss and my grief, but the separation between my brother and I was almost total. No communications, living, thankfully, I would say in those days, at opposite ends of the world. An opportunity arose that I hadn't counted on, as I was invited to form a team and to come out here to the UK. And being back here in the UK has prompted me to share this testimony with you for whatever reason. I was asked to form a team and come out and to examine a ministry, a long-standing ministry that exists here in the UK called Wholeness Through Christ. I don't know if any of you are aware of it. It was a ministry formed a long time ago, originally to minister to Anglican clergy, suffering brokenness, burnout, and so on. And they wanted us to look at this as a possible valuable tool for us in the body in Israel. And we had to go through the whole process with them in prayer and bearing of our hearts, dealing with unresolved issues in our life. I had borne this for so long that it no longer, I understood, was an issue. But we went through the process faithfully, and during the course of it, the Lord began to speak into a very painful area of my life. I discovered a couple of very profound things. One, firstly, that I was profoundly afraid. Afraid of my anger. Afraid of how this would affect my brother. Because I was able to identify very clearly what was not resolved. Because when you invite the Spirit of the living God into your life, He will reveal that dark corner. We just have to have that tiny bit of faith and courage to be able to invite Him in. It's not about self-examination. It's about coming under the spotlight of the Holy Spirit. I was afraid how it would affect my brother and his own emotional instability, and also afraid of his tendency to cause damage to those around him. Remember that from my point of view, his decision on that fateful day of that tragedy, all those years before, the actions that he'd taken had caused my father to be taken from me. A week passed after my return to Israel here from the UK. A further week, and the Lord was stirring in my life. A month passed, and I knew I had to contact my brother. We hadn't been in touch probably for a couple of years at that stage. And I called him, and something immediately in his response to me told me that he really wanted to see me. He really wanted me to come to visit. It was a tiny bit of confidence it provided for me. And he was ready to receive me. And with a release and blessing from my own family and congregation, I flew out all the way to New Zealand to confront this enormous burden. My brother David and I spent a week together in the beautiful coastal surroundings of New Zealand, a place where we had grown up and spent our childhood. Our first day together, we went out onto the sea together, something that we both love dearly. Keen fishermen, boatmen. That's where we'd grown up together. And the Lord blessed that day greatly. There was a certain element of peace between us. And next day, we went and sat at the entrance of the harbor where my father had drowned, where this tragedy had taken place. I sat there and I asked my brother to share with me this story, this terrible story. I didn't interrupt him. I listened and I wept, and all the emotions rolled over me like an enormous wave, and a grief that, frankly, I was not able to speak. And I listened to him unfold the story of what had taken place in the boat that day. I hadn't heard it before. I couldn't go there. And with great humility, he shared his heart about this terrible burden of guilt that it caused his own breakdown. And then he looked me in the eyes and asked for my forgiveness, that he had taken our father from me. And I looked at him and I forgave him. What's remarkable about that poignant moment is that the moment that I forgave him, that transaction of forgiveness between us, suddenly all that anger that I had felt towards my brother became compassion for all that he had suffered as a result of the mistakes that he and my father had made on that fateful day. In the days that followed, there was an incredible freedom between us. There is 9 years age difference between my brother and I. That week that we spent together following that day, we were like 15-year-old teenage boys together. Totally free, enjoying God's bounty around us, something renewed. Now, what had happened to my brother and I in that situation? What happened? On the one hand, we had had the grief of the tragedy that we shared and all the subsequent emotional damage to both of us. On the other hand, my anger and my unforgiveness towards him that I had buried so deep within me that I no longer even recognized it, that I would not even allow God to touch, literally caused a wall between brothers. Brothers that are both brothers in the flesh and in the spirit. And you know, God is so incredibly patient. The lesson I learned from that is his amazing patience. He saw the effect on our lives from this sin of unforgiveness, one that I own up to. He knew that the day would come, then we would be ready as brothers to face it, that this sin and deep wound would be brought to the feet of Yeshua. He also knew my fears, brothers and sisters here. He knew what I feared from all that had taken place. Fear that I'd learned to cover with anger, what I called a righteous anger. An anger that I'd learned to justify. At the end of the day, I was the victim, wasn't I? My father, blessed be his memory, had many sayings. And one of them that I remember, very powerful one: there is none so blind that he that will not see. This weekend I've shared with you my great passion that Jack and I share for the power of God's forgiveness that calls out to us to be reconciled to God and to one another. Then why was I unable to overcome this sin in my own life? It's a mystery in many respects how we can function in the world of unforgiveness. even as a leader in these areas, while yet carrying this deep, unresolved sin in my own life. I'm sure one day the Lord and I are going to have a great discussion about that. You see, I'd allowed my anger and fear to justify my unwillingness to forgive. Remember, there is also much power in anger, enormous power in it. Sometimes we don't want to let it go. You see, anger often gives us the impression that we're in control. The actual fact is that our lives are flying apart. But when we hold on to that control, then in actual fact, we are limiting the lordship of our Jesus in our personal lives and in the lives of those around us. Without the Lord's lordship active in our lives, in fact, we're already defeated. I remember the words of my daughter Sarah when she was 16. She made a choice to be baptized. We took her up to the Sea of Galilee as a family and a community. And before she went into the waters to be baptized, Sarah said to me, "You know what, Abba? Frankly, I cannot go any further in my faith without doing this. Yeshua needs to be Lord in my life. That's what I'm choosing to do today." Also, don't forget that fear operates in darkness. Remember when we were kids? What we didn't understand, what was under the bed? Can we have a night light? Abba? But the book says that perfect love drives out fear. That's in the verses we were examining yesterday afternoon, 1 John chapter 4. Perfect love drives out fear. What is perfect love? Perfect love is the Messiah, is Jesus, and his role of atoning sacrifice for us. What did I learn from this experience? Why am I sharing it with you? Something so personal. Firstly, obviously, I'm not proud of carrying sin of that nature for so long in my life. 20 years. My brother and I both paid a very high price for that. And many others too. I do understand now the seriousness, the complexity of what happened and why I reacted that way. I understand that. But it does not justify the sin that I chose to lock down deep in my life. The beautiful thing is that grace did not condemn me, not for a moment. Grace, at the end, exposed the sin right here in this country. Grace drove out the fear, gave me the confidence that I needed to travel right across the world to bring before the one I had offended. Grace gave me the courage to be vulnerable before my brother and confess my sin to him. Grace renewed that which was broken in both of us. And in a sense, for the first time in my life, I smiled. Dear ones, I share this story because, you know, if there's any area of unforgiveness in your own life, the Lord wants to deal with it today while it's still day. Don't wait 20 years. Don't even bury it for one more day. What if my brother had died before I ever dealt with that thing? Fact is, we don't know what is around the corner. There are many, many reasons why we put up walls between one another. There are many reasons why we wear masks to hide the pain that's within us. Most of the time, we're just simply afraid to be exposed, afraid what others will think about us. But when we confess our sins and our weaknesses to one another, the need for those same walls that we put up or the masks that we choose to wear, they disappear. And we open a whole world of freedom to ourselves and to others. I share this very personal story with you because it is a key for us to be able to begin the long journey of dealing with the issues that we face in the context of our conflicts back home. And I know it is a key for you to be able to face the conflicts that you have right here, maybe in your own homes. I believe it's a solemn moment for us, for those that have hearts open and ears also to hear. Hear what the Lord is saying to you today, what this Holy Spirit is saying to you. My brother and I are almost in daily contact with one another today. I'm going to see him again at the end of this year. And we are so excited together. We're like two little kids. We can't wait for our, because there's total freedom between us now and our families. It's only Jesus that can provide that when we place him firmly back on the throne. Are you willing to do business with the Lord today? Let's just ask for a moment for the Spirit of the Lord to just come into our midst. Lord, you alone know why you wanted me to share this story, this personal story, with my brothers and sisters here at Kingdom Faith. And I'm just a messenger. Lord, you want to enable people to break through walls that have no right to be standing. And so I ask, God, that you would come into this place and stand beside every single one, considering allowing you to shine a light into a dark corner. And Lord, you want to deal with a sin of unforgiveness today, even as you have done so in my life and set me free. That Lord, you want to release precious men and women here today from a slavery, a bondage to sin that's been carried for a long time, and to deal with hurts that are very deep, deep into the souls. So Father, we ask that you do this right now, that the blood of your Son Jesus will be poured out in great measure, providing confidence for people to respond from their hearts. If the Lord is speaking to you right now, I want you to simply get up out of your seats, and I want you to come down here in a response to what God is saying to you. Maybe something that you thought was dealt with, but the Lord's putting his finger on. Don't hesitate. Dear brothers and sisters, even if there is one person here, no one else is paying attention, just come down, and you're here to do business, to let something go in your life that needed dealing with for a long, long time. Brother Jack, would you just join me here? We're going to pray over you all. There are others. So often, these are issues that, like my own, were formed in the very womb of your own families. Know this, brothers and sisters, this day, having the courage of your convictions and responding to the Spirit of God will bring a release in this congregation and your community in ways that you would never anticipate. Maybe someone's still sitting in a seat. I know it's late. It's not late for the Lord. Maybe someone's sitting in a seat that's hesitating. And I say to you right now, by the authority given us in the name of Yeshua, don't hesitate for another second. Get out of your seat and come down here. Even if your faith is wavering about this one, you're wavering about the justification of your anger, you're wavering in your faith about your ability to forgive. It's not about you, folk. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. I can testify to that. Unlock the door. Get down here. God wants to do a work. It's a solemn moment. Brother Jack, why don't you just move up literally and get place oil on everyone, an anointing. As a mark of what the Holy Spirit is about to do in your life. If you've got fear, confess it quietly now. Lord, I'm afraid. Lord, I'm really nervous about this. I'm not sure. You may have been holding something for 30 years or 3 days. You've got anger locked in there so tight. You've justified it for so long. That person has hurt you. That situation seemed so, so undeserved. It was undeserved. Lord's saying, let it go. By the authority that is given us, we call you to deal with this. Brother, just continue to anoint every single person here, and we're going to then pray. Prayer of release in the name that is above all names. Last night, your pastor, Pastor Clive, spoke a prophetic prayer, spoke about a picture of the tide coming in here in the UK, not just here in Horsham or in this church. I believe it's a word from God in this season. It's going to take some of that oil, power of the Holy Spirit, touching your lives. He's watching you. He's responding to you. Lord, move upon us. There's more people responding now, coming out of the seats. Please do that. Let's not waste the time of the Lord. For this is the day that He wants to set you free of this very, very painful thing. Yes, sister, it is a time for grieving. But know this, that the Lord will give you the oil of joy for mourning. He's going to take you beyond the pain and the anger. And He's going to give you a freedom in your life that you have never known before. You'll be speaking to the Lord right now. Speak to Him. Open your heart. It's a very significant moment. It's what we call a solemn assembly. It may be a need for deep lamentation, but I tell you this, church and members of it, without this day, it'll even be difficult to recognize that tide coming in. Hallelujah. Now we're going to pray. I want you to picture something that I had to hold a long time. I want you to picture a big steel door being opened up in the midst of your heart. The rest of the church that is sitting behind, I want you now to reach out and identify with your brothers and sisters. Don't dare detach yourself from what's happening here. They need your support, your backing, and your love, as I did from my community. So be with them in prayer. It's not about fancy words. It's about letting go and letting God sit on the throne of your life and setting us free from sin. And how dare we hold on to sin in our lives? How dare we? That's the anger of the Lord when we do so. Father, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we want to bring blessing from the Holy Land. My brother and I, we want to bring blessing to this church. That You would move upon it, Father. Removing every offense. Every aspect, every hint of unforgiveness because of offenses between brothers. And we ask, Lord, your forgiveness. And the power of your forgiveness to fall upon all these brothers and sisters, even as you fell upon me. That, Lord, your liberty, your freedom would reign in this church in ways that it hasn't done for a long time. Let the growth come from within. Let the release of the gifts of the Spirit be here in abundance, Lord. Poured out in abundance because of sins being let go and brought to the foot of the cross. Dealt with by the power of the blood of the name that is above all names. The name that we love and adore. Oh Jesus, do your work here in the hearts and lives of my brothers and sisters. Give them the power of their convictions. Open blind eyes. Allow them courage, Father, to go out and deal with offenses, perhaps with those that have been waiting for a long time to hear it. I pray this in the name of Yeshua. Lord, release them to be your witnesses to your power to overcome everything in our lives.
Yes.
Kingdom faith, be a community that stands as a bright, shining example of Christ's forgiveness in this community. I pray this is a blessing upon you this day.
Yes, Lord, pray this.
Your pastors, your servants, everybody in this church, that nothing is left undealt with.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I pray this in your precious name, Lord.
Lord, thank you, Lord. That is only by your blood that we have been forgiven. And this precious blood, Lord, that we have been beseeching, Lord, that we have come, Lord, into Lord, just asking the covering of all those people that stood before you, asking the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse them and to give them the strength to be a cleansing, Lord, to others, Lord. May the healing balm of Gilead, Lord, that comes only from the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we symbolically, Lord, we anointed them with the oil and they have taken a step of faith in walking in forgiveness for your name's sake, Lord. I pray, Lord, a new impartation of strength and power and a glory, Lord, that will happen to their lives as they, Lord, release those that offended them, as they release those that hurt them. Lord, there are three ladies here that are specifically praying for their fathers. Lord, hear their prayers and grant them the strength to forgive. Lord, there's one person here that's praying, Lord, specifically for his boss who's been so mean to him and cannot just forgive him. And thank you, Lord, that he has taken this stand to forgive him, Lord, by your name and by your strength, Lord. And there are those, Lord, two ladies that are praying for their husbands, Lord, that have been so harsh, Lord, living with them, Lord, and they have just been struggling with this. And thank you that you have given them the strength, Lord, to walk in this, Lord, steps of forgiveness so that their lives will be changed and the lives of their husbands as well will be changed. In your name, Lord, we seek, Lord, their salvation, and we know that you will save them, Lord, them and their household, in Jesus' name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We release this anointing of new, fresh, Lord Jesus, that comes from your heart and comes from your words, Lord, that you have forgiven those that offended you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Nothing is too great for the Lord. Church, proclaim that with me. Nothing is too great for our Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.